Hello and welcome to American Riviera Bank's Regional Pulse. This is Laurel Sykes, Chief Risk Officer at the bank. Today we're going to do part two of our series on technology, and I have two guests with me today. The first is Randy Berg, the Chief HR Officer with Transform. Welcome, Randy.
Thanks for having me.
And we're also joined by Paul Abramson, the bank's Chief Technology Officer.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Good deal. And as I mentioned, today is going to be part two of our series. Our first segment talked about the technology industry here on the Central Coast of California, specifically what's going on in Goleta and Carpinteria and a little bit about the space program. But with that comes challenges in hiring very trained and very specifically skilled people that you can't just find anywhere. So we're going to be discussing some of those challenges and some of the things that are being done to address the needs in workforce housing. So let's start with Randy, and we'll talk about some of the challenges that your company is seeing with skilled labor and maybe some of the ideas that you've had for bringing people on board.
Sure. It is a big challenge because no one has seen what the work is like inside of a clean room except the people that do work inside of a clean room. And there's the paradox.
And what is a clean room?
Oh, there you go. Great question. So
I'm the non-tech person of this podcast.
So glad you asked. So in order to make the semiconductors that have changed the world over the last, 70 years, the beginning starts with manufacturing that happens inside a room where the air is filtered to be rid of basically dust. So that down to a very fine level, you are not allowed to have particulate matter inside that air. So you create a clean room, which is a series of filters that takes normal air, but then eliminates all of the dust at measured levels of 100,000 square feet or 10,000 square feet or 10,000 parts per foot. They measure various areas. So you work in an area where the air is super clean. In fact, it's so clean, you wear a suit, we call them a bunny suit. Like you're wrapped up with your face covered, not to protect you from material, but to protect the working product from you, from any skin flakes or hair flakes. So that's a clean room. And there are a number of companies, the NanoFab at UCSB as a place people are learning and training, but companies like Transform or Raytheon or Seek Thermal or Santa Barbara Infrared or FLIR that do this kind of clean room, advanced manufacturing.
So that means that you have need for manufacturing resources, engineers. What types of jobs are really in use in those places?
Sure. So Santa Barbara, I think, has done a fabulous job making the community aware of advanced manufacturing engineering. So people are going to great schools and coming back to design products or the processes, how to use a very specific high-tech machine. But what they haven't done, and I don't think anyone in the country's done a very good job yet, but are starting to tell people that may not want a four-year degree, you can have a good career working a regular shift, making good money inside a clean room, doing work that's not terribly heavy lifting, but moving all day to make sure that the manufacturing product is moving from machine to machine. But there are very technical requirements to understand the machine's processes, to interface with a computer, to work collaboratively with your team and in the right steps. So the work isn't necessarily invention, but it's production work that's satisfying because you're producing world-class material and you do it on a regular schedule with good wages.
That's fantastic. And it's interesting. I hear a lot of times we talk about Dos Pueblos High School because they have the Engineering Academy, which my own daughter is a part of. So I love the program.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they go through the program and then they get these great college offers and they oftentimes leave the area for engineering jobs that are paying more than maybe what we can afford to pay here in Santa Barbara. So talk to me a little bit about the workforce development program that's being contemplated to help get high school students trained here locally that maybe don't want to go off to college?
That's a great question. And at its very beginning stages, the school district and the county school district and the Santa Barbara, the regional chamber of commerce in the area, and REACH, a regional group of chambers, mm-hmm. have all decided, and the California GoBiz, California Business Development Group, have all recognized a need for this. What hasn't materialized crisply yet is the exact track that that would look like. So this is a very formative time for workforce development for advanced manufacturing. One good example is that the Santa Barbara School District purchased the armory between the junior high and the high school, and they're deciding what they should do with that. And the school district is looking for people with a passion for training to help them design that. So the chamber's stepping into the breach, as well as other interested groups to help shape what that training center might look like. North County has a training center that's a great model, but doesn't include advanced manufacturing. It includes, as we mentioned in the past, supporting rocket development, mm-hmm. like the things that go around a spaceport. That's technology, both the electronics of communication as well as the physical infrastructure. But they also train ag equipment, because North County will always be an ag area. But what about people that are putting parts together? So we want to model that kind of idea down in South County.
That's great. So Paul, we recently had an open position for an IT resource. And it was a position that we did a whole lot of interviewing for, and offers went out. And it's just really challenging for Santa Barbara wages to match up with some of these really highly skilled people that we were looking to recruit. Ultimately, what we did is we changed the posting a bit. We're looking for somebody a little more entry level. And in doing so, I think one of the things that we uncovered is there were a lot of employees internally that were interested in the IT space. And ultimately, you came up with a really creative idea for how to fill that need. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about how that came about?
Sure. I think, and I don't know that I deserve all the credit. I think it was born out of a group discussion and brainstorming of various sorts. But I think the thing that I've noticed about IT in particular is that it sort of attracts two types of people. The first being that the people that are in it for the money, and the others are the ones that really enjoy it and have a passion for it. So that sort of led to the idea that there are people that are passionate about technology that maybe didn't study it in school, but nonetheless want to learn and want to put in the effort to get better. And I think that that's something that can be fostered in an environment like ours. We have a lot of smart people, and if we can recruit some of them to help us out with things that we need to get done, it's a win-win for everyone.
And from an HR standpoint, it was valuable for us because we did spend a lot of time interviewing. And even though we broadened our reach and our search from Santa Maria to, you know, Ventura, it was just really challenging finding people at that salary point that had the kind of skill set that we were looking for. So Randy, with regard to Transform, are there any mentoring programs or internship programs that you've leveraged to grow your own from within?
Yeah, thanks for asking. In fact, I hired someone yesterday. I'm very excited that we took a UCSB undergrad, and he had been with us 2 summers and loves us. We beat the, to the point that you've talked about the salaries being a challenge. We have to live within certain salary constraints. We don't get to pay highest level wages. But we have Santa Barbara as a selling point and cutting edge technology. So in the end, we won because our intern who had seen us fell in love with the technology and team over a higher wage job.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So internships have been one secret sauce. And then this kind of grow your own production level staff that may not have the exact skills. So you begin to look for the transferable skills, attention to detail, likes to be active all day, because our team that does the production or testing are standing, moving, but they're also paying attention to decimal point numbers that not everyone understands, that they have to understand to the hundredth what that data is telling them when they do the test. Mm-hmm. So we look for those kinds of things and then train them how to do a production process or a testing process.
That's fantastic. So then you would think that as part of this workforce development initiative that's being sponsored by all the great groups that you mentioned previously, including our own Santa Barbara South Coast Chamber and UCSB, it seems like a skills assessment might be the first thing that you're going to want to do with people that you're considering admitting into this workforce development program to make sure it really is something, as Paul mentioned, they're going to love, not just doing it for the money.
This is what's interesting and where my HR hat comes in, because it's really interesting, is how do you find the secret passion that someone might even be secret to them? And how do you expose them to something and they say that's icky, which to me is a good outcome, because if they see it and feel it and say no, you've saved one failed job, right? For them and us. So I think there's an element of the assessment that includes doing. And so Demis John at UCSB created a program called CC Prime that puts people into a clean room for a week.
Oh, wow.
And they actually make a part. It's not one that's going to run a computer, but it's a part nevertheless. And at the end of that week, they know I could do that every day, or that's icky, right? And either outcome in my mind is good.
Yeah.
And then City College had 6 students in that program last week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we put 2 of our own people through that program. So those kinds of learn by doing programs, I think, are super important for this kind of job. And the region is now asking how, which is so exciting. The county schools is supporting it. The city schools are saying, let's build a building. The companies are saying, how can we support you with the kind of training? And the university actually wants to be a key part of that, which, again, is, I think, a bit of a pivot in my time in Santa Barbara. The university wants to join in the answer.
That's great. And you mentioned your time here in Santa Barbara. Do you mind telling our listeners a little bit about how you got your start in IT and how that progression has happened for you?
Sure. So IT came late in my career, always loving technology. I worked as a technician to work my way through City College in South Orange County. And I knew I wanted something different. I found that I pivoted out of higher education into human resources at a company many of your listeners will remember as Applied Magnetics. Now, sadly gone from the face of the world, but was a company that gave me a great start. And many, many of the people in the region started their careers there. So from that, I worked there until it was no more, and then stayed in HR. So I found that my interest in people combined with an interest in technology gave me a kind of a unique niche for technology HR that not everyone is up for.
Absolutely. I mean, just having to interview people, and I was part of some of the IT interviews that we did here internally, having to interview people and ask questions about things you know nothing of are challenging. Yeah. So they're very fortunate to have someone with your background that can help.
Thanks. And I've enjoyed it. Yeah, it's been a good career.
Paul, how about you? How did you get started in IT?
Well, I grew up in the Bay Area, and I feel very fortunate that I was born in a generation that was privileged to see kind of the evolution of the internet. And I think that was a unique time to grow up, just because you kind of got to see how everything was put together and now what it's capable of delivering. And I think about my kids and their expectations for things that will just work. And while they are curious, they've got a lot of fundamentals that they would need to catch up on to understand, you know, how the things that they love and use actually work. And I hope that when they become a little bit older, that they'll want to listen to their old man talk about that, because I could go on for hours and hours about all that stuff. But yeah, I think just sort of an interest in technology since a very young age. And, you know, thankfully it's something that people are willing to pay me to do now. So.
And how did that turn into this cybersecurity passion of yours?
Again, growing up in the Bay Area, I had, you know, friends that would go to 2600 meetings and, you know, want to play with telephones and all of that sort of stuff. And I think learning how things work, you also, and how they should be built, you also learn along the way how things can break. And it's a balance between having a system that is powerful enough to do things that maybe it wasn't originally intended to do, but also having controls around that to make sure that those unintended uses don't cause harm. And I think that, you know, working with technology, especially in the financial sector, you need to be able to value both the capabilities as well as the constraints. And I did not set out to begin working in banking. There's that joke that says that everybody's an accidental banker. But the first job that I got in banking, I realized that it's one of the industries, and this was especially true when I first started working, that highly values the security side of technology as well as the technological advances. And so I think that's something that maybe is now sort of more common knowledge, and it certainly will attract people that are interested in both technology and cybersecurity.
So, Paul, tell me a little bit about this group of employees that you've put together to help with technology needs in the company.
Sure. So I think as you work with people in an organization, you pretty quickly learn who is more capable with technology than others and more inclined to be curious and learn things that maybe aren't necessarily in the job description. So we had a good idea of some potential candidates to reach out to, and thankfully the ones that were on our list enthusiastically accepted the offer to assist. And so far it's been a really positive thing. For us too, it was important to be able to have people to assist in this capacity that are in some of our remote branches. So we go up to Paso Robles, and if me or another member of the Santa Barbara based staff needed to make a trip, it's kind of a day long event. So being able to have somebody on site at some of those further out locations to assist when physical presence is required is really helpful.
That's great. So one last question for both of you. How about the five different types of jobs that are in the technology or cybersecurity industry for those of our listeners that might have kids or grandkids that might be looking for that job of the future?
Sure. It's a great question. You wouldn't know if you saw an Indeed ad or some other posting what a process technician was. Very generic phrase. A process technician would be the one where you're actually running the process to make semiconductor chips. So that's something that Raytheon and Google and FLIR and Transform and GSR have those jobs. So that's one job. Product technician or product test technician is another one. A product test technician can be testing a number of things, infrared devices, semiconductor chips, lasers, requires some familiarity with technical tools. So something that someone can learn on the job. And I might only go for three, but I think we also have equipment technicians, a broad category, but this hot job in the United States can pay more than $150,000 a year for someone that's keeping the equipment alive. And you wouldn't think that that's there, but the machine that runs this part we're talking about costs more than a Maserati. It costs more than a Ferrari. It costs maybe $1 million. The person that repairs that machine needs to have some computer skills, but they're not a computer technician. They need to have production skills. They need to know what the machine does. They have to have machine skills because they put parts together. So those would be three that I would say worth exploring.
Okay. What about you, Paul?
I can honestly say I don't know. I think that the types of stuff maybe that my kids would be getting a job for, I haven't thought about yet. So I would give a more generic answer and just say to learn the fundamentals and try to understand how things work, because that's kind of future proof. And it also gives you a good primer on understanding what might be possible. And the what might be possible, I think it's obviously much more important than the how. In IT, we get kind of caught up with preferring a certain vendor, trusting vendors, and then, you know, every problem looks like a nail when your only tool is a hammer, right? Is that the right way to say that? Yeah. So thinking more about, you know, the things that you want to achieve and then figuring out what the best way to achieve them is afterwards, given everything that you know and have available in the present time.
Well, you did just mention a job that I know is a big one out there, at least in our industry, and that's vendor manager, vendor management, because obviously we outsource a lot as companies, and having to trust someone else to take the same care and concern for your customers and your staff as you do is hard, and you need to do some work. So there are a lot of different types of jobs out there that, like you said, you wouldn't really know are there until you get in. And internships are critical. We leveraged that internship program here too at the bank. We just said goodbye to our marketing intern that was just a phenomenal resource to us both last year and this year, and pray she comes back. All that being said, it's a tough problem to solve, and I appreciate the efforts that both of you are doing to try and help the industry and help our local residents stay here on the Central Coast. And
thanks for talking about it.
Yeah,
it was a good day.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And I also want to thank our listeners for joining us. To learn more about the bank, you can visit AmericanRiviera.bank and find out more about our story and our staff and our locations. We span from Paso Robles to Montecito, and we're always here to help. Thank you for your time.